This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cakes Auville, and Jason Bishop. We got Kadri Ismail, covers the Ravens, joining us at 7:20. But right now, we'll hit the skins.
All right, boys. Big coaching change yesterday, kind of surprised people. Only four games left, and the Redskins kind of factored in the decision when the Carolina Panthers released Ron Rivera, relieved him of his duties.
Did I call this on Monday morning?
Yes, I don't know that you called that he was going to be fired this week.
I didn't call it this way. I just said he was going to be fired.
Yeah.
You can't lose to the Skins that way and retain your job.
Yeah, well, the owner referenced the Redskins' loss, and I guess they played the Falcons the week previously.
Yes. I think Allen threw at least three picks in that game.
Oh, he was terrible.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah, so he said those two losses factored in. The owner actually said he thought he was patient. But Ron Rivera is out there. And, of course, immediately people start to link him potentially with the Redskins in their coaching search. Some people actually seem to think there might be kind of a race to hire Ron Rivera. His reputation is that good. Certainly amongst players, players love to play for him. His record's decent. He's won double digit games. He won 15 games one year. They went 15-1.
That was the year they went to the Super Bowl.
And if you want to be fair, to some extent, look, the last 2 years, their franchise player has been banged up.
Yeah.
In Cam Newton.
Well, that's why you thought he wasn't going to get fired, but I still said in the last 4 years, he's been in the playoffs once, and he's got a losing record in the last 4 years, most of that with Cam Newton.
Right.
Right. But if you look at, so he would just occasionally pop up and have bomb ass years. They went 12-4 in 2013. They went 15-1 in 2015.
That's
Cam's
MVP.
Then they went 11-5 in 2017. Pretty good. Got him to the Super Bowl.
He was there a while, though.
A quality coach that people love playing for him. I think. He would entertain the Redskins.
He's a defensive guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Defensive.
So you can bring in Rivera if you're so in love with O'Connell to stay as your offensive coordinator. You could do that marriage.
Yeah, I don't know. Are we in love with O'Connell? I haven't seen that much yet. I mean,
I'm not, but I'm just saying if the organization is.
Well, he's well-regarded, I know, within the building, obviously. Yeah. They don't want to let a young offensive mind go.
Part of that is they're just nervous that they're going to get rid of another young wonder kid.
Sure.
Just who knows if he's it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He might not be.
You spoke of the owner of the Carolina Panthers speaking about it, and a lot of people made note that it's something that Snyder would never do.
Right.
Because he basically gave an honest conversation about how maybe they blew it and he's been patient and what they're looking for and why they're firing him now. Like, he went into every angle.
Yeah, of course. He's a normal human being.
Right. Except we're looking for somebody that can deal with the analytics side.
We have a weirdo. We have a weirdo as the owner.
Bill Callahan said they don't do analytics here.
Yeah. Well, that's not really true.
He said he thinks we have a... I believe he said...
Not during the game, they don't do
analytics. I think we have a department. He didn't really know much about it. Big surprise.
It's not really true. If you look at their front office...
They have two guys.
They got some guys there that seem to be under sort of that umbrella.
The guys who are going to get fired this year, Rivera obviously already won. Doug Marone's going to get fired, probably. Dan Quinn probably gets fired. Those would be the type of names that I would think that Snyder would be going after.
Well, I think McCarthy, too.
I mean, I know he wants a big splash guy. He would love to get Urban Meyer. He would love to get, Harbaugh, one of those guys. But those guys aren't going to work for him. It would be the Rivera type, Marone type.
I could see Urban Meyer, one of these guys, working for Dan if they paid him a ton of money and he got rid of Bruce. I could actually see that.
What about Greg Roman?
I don't see it.
Yeah.
Roman, I'm not sure Roman would. Yeah, maybe.
I saw the list. I think it was one of the pregame shows while Cakes and I were doing our pregame show. We don't hear the audio, but I saw I think it was Jay Glazer, maybe it was somebody else, and they put the list of names. And they had both the coordinators from Baltimore, of course. And the rest of the names, nobody really stood out, but Greg Roman was one of those names. The guy, this is Martindale, also from Baltimore.
I'd be interested. The person I couldn't see, like Urban Meyer and those guys, you know, big name guys working for, is Jerry Jones, because Jerry Jones is very out there. He's very, very heavily involved publicly in all the decisions. Dan might meddle and stuff, but he's way more behind the scenes. Yeah, well, so I think an egomaniac.
He's not actually the general manager.
Yeah, I think an egomaniac, you know, like an Urban Meyer, could work for him, just like Mike Shanahan did.
Yeah, I couldn't see it, but I could see a Rivera guy or someone like that, Marone.
A guy
who wants to stay in the league and, you know, continue to get those paychecks.
I mean, hiring Marone would just be a punt.
I think that guy's a loser. I don't know why. I've seen his name out there.
I wouldn't want anything to do with him.
Why? And I'm not interested, you know, God bless Dan Quinn, not interested.
Because there's a small percentage of guys who will work for him.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's a small list.
I actually think more would work for Dan than you think. I think they don't want to work with Bruce there, too.
Who would? More?
More than you
even
might
though I think Dan Snyder is dumb and doesn't know what he's doing, if I were him and I would brought a list that had Marone's name on it, I would take a pen and write a big streak right through his name and not consider him.
Yeah. Of all the names, like sort of the retread type, like McCarthy, Rivera, all these guys, who are you most interested in of the retread type? You know, not the young
court. Not interested in McCarthy. I think he's a bit of a dope, too.
Yeah.
Kind of depends on who else he's going to bring in, who's going to be calling the shots, who's running the draft.
I could go for a Todd Bowles.
Oh, no.
That's the ultimate retread.
Very, very uninspired hire.
But some of these guys only had like a year. The guy who had a year in Arizona? He got hosed.
In Arizona.
Oh, just last year they fired him.
Oh, it was the Wilkes. Steve Wilkes.
Steve Wilkes, yeah.
Yeah. You never know. He might be good. He's a good defense coordinator, right?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
He came in from Carolina, didn't he?
Yes, correct.
Eric, you wouldn't be sized for Dan Quinn?
I mean, he's got a lot of tools there.
He loves Dan Quinn because he was on the Seahawks staff.
He's got a lot of tools there and not work. I mean, he's got Matt Ryan. I don't know. He's going to have less talent here.
But that would be the type of guy I think they would go after.
How about you hire a guy? Is it Kevin Stefanski, the OC for the Vikings? Mm-hmm. Who's doing some pretty good things there? I'd bring him in for an interview. I'd much rather have him than an old dope like Marone or a retread like Todd Bowles or a 1-year flameout Wilkes.
I'm not saying those guys are better coaches. I'm just saying that Snyder, can't imagine Snyder wanting Kevin Stefanski.
By the way, Stefanski has a ton to work with in Minnesota.
He's got nice weapons, absolutely.
Yeah.
That helps you as an
offensive coordinator.
It
definitely helps.
Right. Right. So anyway, interesting stuff out there. Some people think the teams might actually make a move on Rivera before the season's even over, that he's that highly sought after. So who knows?
And would he fit into the Rooney Rule? Like, because he's probably minority, right?
I suppose. I don't know.
He's Puerto Rican.
Does the Rooney Rule, like if you're Puerto Rican, if you're Latin?
Of course. It's to interview a minority.
Okay, sure. Playoff scenarios for the Redskins still actually exist. Now, I heard prior to last week it was like 1 in 876,000 or something. But here's a scenario that would have to play out for the Redskins to get to the playoffs, because they could actually still win the NFC East.
This is comical.
Well, there are only 4 games left, and this is what would have to happen.
It's like obviously, Trav and I hitting the Powerball.
The Redskins would have to win out, which is not going to happen, but let's just say they did.
Right.
Okay? They'd have to beat the Packers, Eagles, Giants, and Cowboys.
Okay.
Right? I think they'll be lucky to win one of those, but let's just say they got on a hot streak and they rushed for 400 yards every week. The Cowboys then have to lose out. When you look at the Cowboys' schedule, it's actually possible. It's doable. They are at the Bears. Mm-hmm. They have the Rams at the Eagles. And, of course, they would be head up against the Skins in the last week.
Right.
And then the Eagles just have to go 1-3 with the win being against the Cowboys. So if that all played out, the Skins would be 7-9, the Cowboys would be 6-10, and the Eagles would be 6-10. And the Redskins go to the playoffs.
The joke part, though, is how do the Redskins run the table?
Well, they're not.
Yeah.
They haven't beaten the Packers in Green Bay, I believe, since 1986. And the 4 times they've played there, I think they've been outscored like 122-43. Like, they just have no success.
Boat race city.
In Lambeau. They do have a win over the Packers a few years ago, but it wasn't in Lambeau.
It was at FedEx.
Right.
And there were probably a lot of Packers fans in FedEx,
right,
if I had to guess.
Some people are starting to already speculate about what Redskins might be deserving of making the Pro Bowl. I think we all agree Tress Way is deserving. Is there anybody else out there, Cakes, you think might be worthy of a Pro Bowl nod?
If McLaurin had Case Keenum throwing him the ball all year, I would have thought he was on the
numbers
sort of
aren't going to be there.
If,
yeah,
if 60% or 70% of the NFC roster decided to bail out because they knew it was a joke game,
right,
maybe, but other than Tress Way, no.
But also,
what about Matt Ioannidis?
You can't put McLaurin in there because just go through every team in the NFC. You're going to find 10 receivers better. That's who Cakes mentioned.
No. His numbers would be exponentially better if Case Keenum played 16 games.
I understand that, but he's not even close. They only take usually three receivers.
Okay, but he was on track. If you extrapolate his numbers, he was going to go for like 1,300 or 1,400
yards. Yeah, it's not even close. The only other person I could think of, maybe you could throw in Matt Ioannidis, but I don't think his numbers would stand out, is
you don't
Landon
think for
Collins.
D tackles?
Landon Collins, maybe at safety.
I think Landon Collins is a name that people have thrown out there. I personally am throwing Ioannidis into the mix just because I think he's been such a beast.
You won't vote for him. You won't go online and vote.
Also, because you don't pay attention to any other defensive tackle in the league.
True.
Not saying I do.
True.
But I'm not saying that he's deserving.
I'm saying he's worthy of consideration. Seems to me to be playing at a pretty high level.
He makes plays for the Redskins.
Yeah. Of course, they do play the Packers this week. Does anybody feel confident about their game against the Packers? It'll be their third matchup between the two teams in the last 5 years.
I'm confident the Packers will win the game, if you're asking my confidence.
Packers 13-point favorites, minus 750 on the money line.
That's got to be the biggest favorite on the board over the weekend, correct?
Got to be. Well, Minnesota's 13 over Detroit.
Okay.
So that's equal, and I think that's about it, yeah.
This is the first of the Packers' final two home games of the regular season. Aaron Rodgers has a career passer rating of 111 in regular season home games in December and January, ranking number one in NFL history.
Pretty good.
This is what he will,
pretty good this
he
time
will
of year.
Not do. Aaron Rodgers will not do. He will not give you the ball.
Generally speaking,
and
he's got two picks this year.
And he'll heavily target Davante Adams now that he's back and healthy.
Yes.
That's what he does.
Coming up next, we'll switch gears. We will talk about the Ravens, the hottest team in football. Kadri Ismail used to be a receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, now an analyst in Baltimore on WJZ. He joins us next on the Junkies.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now on the Matt Strauss Hotline, former NFL wideout, current pre- and post-game host for the Baltimore Ravens, it's Kadri Ismail.
Well, these, can you punch it up for me? I don't have my software up. There you go. Kadri, are you there?
I am here, loud and clear, ready to roll.
What's going on, man? What a fun season, man, for you guys.
It's a fun season up here in the great Baltimore area, as we sit here and relish in win after win, while our fellow brethren down there in the D.C. area, you guys are wallowing in your sorrows.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
It's been a bad year.
You guys own us. There's no doubt about that right now. You guys are the hot team. In fact, your TV ratings doubled ours here in D.C.
Yeah, more people in D.C. are watching the Ravens,
which is crazy.
Well, that means that the color purple is a lot better than the, what is it, garnet and gold or something?
Burgundy.
I don't remember. It's like so long ago that you guys are relevant.
It's true. We can't even defend him, Kadri. It's true. I like how you're trolling us, but we can't even defend him.
I feel for you. I do. I really do. I'm just saying, like, you know, you guys are going through a tough time right now, and, you know, RG3 is just sitting here just saying to himself, see, if y'all would have just developed me the right way, we'd have had a whole different thing. Instead, you got Kirk Cousins up in Minnesota doing his thing. What up? Say something. Can't.
Yeah, but RG3 didn't want to kind of
don't even go there with the RG3 stuff, because RG3 did that to himself, to be honest with you.
No, he aligned with the owner, and the owner just gave him some bad stuff, and everybody just tried to, you know,
too much power.
Big lead. Mm-hmm. Yep.
A little too much power.
But Kadri, are you?
Now he's just on the sideline, and now he's giving advice to my boy.
Right.
I mean, Lamar is just like, oh, okay, that's what you do, and that's what you don't do. Okay.
Right.
Good. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Oh. Well, it's working. Are you even surprised at the success of Lamar?
I'm surprised in that an off season for a rookie usually is one where they kind of get full of themselves because they made it in the league and they've had some success and they never really work on their weaknesses. And so it compounds into the next season and you kind of have an off year, that sophomore slump. But for Lamar to go out and do what he did as far as just honing in on his game, I mean, this is a guy in the first year of training camp, he was struggling to throw a tight spiral. And now you're seeing the fullness of his fruits of his labor. So very, very commendable for him to put himself in a position where he just feels like, all right, you know what? I'm going to address my weaknesses. I'm going to make this thing happen. And I think that's the result of what we're seeing as far as the way the Ravens are playing this year.
And if there was a coaching staff that you would want a young quarterback to be developed, especially a running quarterback, it's the Ravens coaching staff with Harbaugh and Greg Roman. Greg Roman did great things with Kaepernick, as you know. And it's amazing because I watched Lamar Jackson a lot in college, and he never completed even 60% of his passes. I mean, that was his weak link. He could not complete a simple throw, and he's completing, what is it, about 67% in this season? I mean, that's unbelievable.
Well, his November stretch run was where I thought, you know, he took that next step. And you know, people talk about MVP and all that, but you do it in November, December, that's when things get real. And, you know, for him to, you know, the completion percentage that you talked about, but, you know, when I'm looking at tight window throws, when I'm looking at defenses trying to, you know, disguise a look, and they're the ones that are being confused, and he's just going through his progressions. That's what helps, you know, your completion percentage. It's just being smart. And I think Lamar has, you know, so far ahead, you know, just captured what Greg Roman has talked about. And again, you know, you look at with you know, John, I think most head coaches fail to adapt, and that's where I think that they struggle. You know, heck, if you look at Kitchen in Cleveland, I think part of his problem is that he doesn't have the vision of recognizing who's around you and making sure that everybody is in lockstep. And I think for John Harbaugh, throughout his tenure here in Baltimore, he's had some former head coaches on his staff. He's had some big-name guys on his staff, but he's always in tune to whether or not something is working or not working, and he's not afraid to challenge guys and call them out on it.
Right. Well, you know, it is, you know, we talk about RG3, and it is so similar to what Robert did in 2012, and not just with Lamar, but with the rushing attack, right? You got Mark Ingram in there, which was a huge pickup, right? He's been great, averaging 5 yards per carry. Gus Edwards also, right? He's been chipping in. He's averaging over 5 yards per carry. Talk about how important that running game has been to the development of Lamar.
Well, so, and this is the thing. I think people think that Lamar is just, oh, he's running. He's not. It is Mark Ingram. I think Mark Ingram, you know, has quietly been the catalyst for this whole thing. Just his attitude and the way he's, you know, presented himself in the locker room. Guys have really, you know, captured a hold of his enthusiasm and his energy. And at the same time, I think it takes some of the pressure of leadership off of Lamar's plate and allows Lamar to be Lamar, if you will. I think he learned a lot of that when he was down in New Orleans with Drew Brees and the rest of the fellas down there. So in my mind, I think, you know, the running attack and the way they do it, you know, now it's like you're talking second and one and you're like, okay, I think we're going to get Mark Ingram again. But your keys, in other words, a linebacker or, you know, D lineman, they're looking at, you know, whether or not if it's going to be, all right, a certain formation or whatever. You're just so off balance because you don't see that. You don't see the traditional look. And I think that's something that has really helped, you know, the offensive linemen, you know, with the advantage that they have. But it also is really given guys like the running back crew an opportunity to get some big yards. And then at the same time, it sets everything else up as far as the passing attack.
In that game against San Francisco, what did you think the key was, especially in the fourth quarter? For me, just as a casual fan, I just looked at that fourth and one play. I didn't think that was a good play for San Francisco to run. I would have liked them to spread it out, maybe go to Mostert because he was just carving the Ravens up. And then once they got the ball back, you know, Lamar made some good plays, especially there on that first and 15. Nice throw to Andrews, and then Tucker's not going to miss in a key. I don't care what the weather is, Tucker's not missing. So what did you think the keys were, especially in the fourth quarter there?
You know, honestly, I thought the game would have not come down to the kick had Lamar had not the ball stripped away from him.
Right.
You know, they were on a mission. I mean, they were driving down the field, and you could see, you know, defensively, the 49ers, they couldn't necessarily figure out where to take themselves to the ball. They couldn't rally in speed to the ball. That's what they do. That's what defense is. The good defense is that, you know, this team has faced. That's what they've done. They've been able to nullify their defensive speed. And so I think when Lamar, you know, took it, you know, around the edge and you could just see the great downfield block, and now all of a sudden he has the one-on-one opportunity with the guy. I think he just got lazy with it and the defender was able to strip it away. With that said, I thought the defense – did a great job of holding fast. But when Lamar and company got the ball back, now it takes on a different form because your number nine is better than their number nine. And so Justin Tucker is like, all right, let's just put it in a range where we feel confident and let's not do anything foolish. Mm-hmm. Let's win this game. I knew they were going to be able to run out the clock because they've been doing that all year long. It set itself up perfectly once the offense got the ball back. And I think that's something where, to me, in my mind, you look at Super Bowl aspirations as far as getting into the playoffs. You know, you need to win games like this. You can't just keep blowing teams out. You need to win these gritty games where, you know, everybody's looking each other in the eye and saying, all right, I'm going to do my job, I'm going to do my assignment, and we're going to come out with the victory. And I thought that was a seminal moment as far as putting, you know, Justin Tucker in that position and obviously them kicking it through the uprights.
Joined by Qadri Ismail, former Ravens wideout, now an analyst for the Ravens for WJZ in Baltimore. Should be a fun one this Sunday as the Ravens travel north to Buffalo. These teams are combined 19-5. Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson, two of the best young quarterbacks in the AFC, getting together on Sunday. I'm guessing people didn't think that these two teams would have a combined 19 wins at this point in the season.
I'm telling you, I mean, this has kind of been a crazy year because even with, you know, Lamar, people just thought, okay, cool, he's going to do what he's going to do. You know, clearly no one, you know, looked at and saw Ben Roethlisberger getting banged up. But with Buffalo, you're always looking at New England. You know, that's just the, you know, elephant in the room when it comes to the AFC East. And I thought for what Buffalo has been able to do and kind of separate themselves and put themselves in the conversation as far as an upper tier team. I'm excited for this game because Josh Allen has those same kind of characteristics that you see in Lamar. He has this ability to scramble, but then he also has ability to have design runs. They both have that capability. And so I think one thing that was a little bit telling as far as the Ravens defense and they were giving up some plays in the running game because of no one was able to really get off their blocks, and that's something that is just so odd to see from a Wink Martindale's defense. So I'm curious. I'm curious to see how they're going to do against Josh Allen. I think that up in Buffalo is a different kind of animal when it comes to their fan base and that atmosphere. So it should be a really good game.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about the defenses that they have to face here. San Francisco last week, top three defense in terms of points allowed anyway. Buffalo, I think Buffalo might be second in the league in points allowed, right behind the Patriots. They're only allowing like 15 a game. So that's going to be really interesting. If they can go into Buffalo and rack up yards and points, man, I tip the cap because that's a tough defense to run against.
Well, now, I will say this. So, As tough as that defense is, we kind of said the same thing about San Francisco. You said that this is a team defensive front that's littered with first round picks. You could just see how they just go out there and they just put on a display. But remember, part of it is because when you're a defensive coordinator and you're looking at an opposing team's offense, they present. For example, the tight end's on a line of scrimmage. Okay, he's to the right side. Hey, look, they're in the I formation. Well, okay, based upon the analytics, we're going to have them run to the right side. And so, you could devise a scheme that stops that. And you got guys in their athleticism to get up the field and go ahead and stop it, whatever that team is doing. But that's something that the Redskins don't do well. So anyway, that being said, you continue forth and you see what the Ravens do. They put in like a scheme where now Lamar is in the pistol. You got your fullback on the outside. He'll motion in and now he'll go ahead and it looks like he's giving it to Mark Ingram on one play. The fullback wham blocks and now Lamar is keeping it to the outside. But then at the same time, you'll see that same formation, that same run. And now you think, oh, yeah, we got Lamar this time. Uh-huh. And now he'll give it to Mark Ingram. And now Mark is bouncing it to the outside. But the fullback key, Patrick Ricard, it looks as though he's going to wham block again. Now he's slipping out and blocking the outside linebacker. And now you get this 10, 15-yard gain down the football field. And so that's the confusion that it creates. It causes the defense to pause and not get a beat upon what the Ravens are doing. Y'all just missed the whole troll thing with the whole thing right. With the Redskins, but I digress. It's early. It's early in the morning
it
right
is.
Now.
It's very early. When you look at the rest of the AFC, obviously they've already beaten the Patriots, and the Patriots are kind of struggling offensively with all the injuries and Brady's age. Their defense is winning them a ton of games. But what team in the AFC right now poses the most problems for Baltimore defensively, do you think?
So, it concerns me only that they have Bill Belichick and that's where the mastermind of breaking down film and saying, all right, Bill might even have people going way back to Greg Roman's time in San Fran and trying to figure things out there. So that's where it concerns you because, that's the second go round. And if it comes down to having to travel up to Foxborough, this Ravens offense, it's built to be able to withstand that. But that right there kind of concerns me. Obviously, division opponents are always going to be a thorn in your side, no matter what their record is. So, let's be real. You got two more games, one against Cleveland, one against, Pittsburgh. Cleveland, I'm sure the guys are going to be motivated because they, failed to really take care. Exactly. And then Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh and, I'm hoping that this is one of those things where you could finish off on a strong note and put into go into the playoffs with the mindset of, all right, we're on a mission. Let's handle our business and get to the big dance.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kadri, appreciate the time.
We'll
best
be watching
of luck the rest of the season. Hopefully, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
It's funny when guys like Kadri or Howard Eskin troll.
Mm-hmm.
I think they expect us to fight back, but we kind of agree with it.
You can't fight back. Everything they say is true.
Right.
Yeah. Been pathetic.
People get so upset by it, too.
Yeah.
Well, a few Redskins fans.
Yeah, they're just stupid. they're low IQ people.
If
they can't handle a little radio trolling from the guy down the street, who cares? And we deserve it.
Yeah.
I'm a Skins fan. We deserve it.
Yeah, totally you got to be self-aware at some point.
Yeah. If they came in here and tried to troll the Nats or something, then we'd stand up for them.
or the Caps. But the Redskins right now, you just got to take it.
Speaking of the Caps,
got to eat it.
We will talk about the Caps' fourth straight win with Alan May coming up at 8:20. Justin Kutcher, the voice of the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us at 9:20. But next, we go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, our holiday drinking show coming up on Friday. You don't want to miss that on Friday morning for all the shenanigans. Apparently, we're going to have a cocktail contest.
Yes, we are. Best cocktail is going to win an unspecified cash prize.
That's such a pain in my ass.
Absolutely.
I mean, such a pain in my ass. I might even forget. I'm going to need a text reminder.
Oh, you'll get them.
Because I gotta bring my shaker and all that stuff. I gotta go to the liquor store.
You gotta come prepared.
I gotta get
you
all
win
my
that money
things. Because the drink I'm gonna make, the foofy drink I'm gonna make, it requires like three or four different things that I don't have.
By the way, it's not confirmed that there's any money on the line, is it?
Oh, I think it's pretty much confirmed.
If it's not a sponsor, it's coming out of Valdez and Drabby's pocket.
85% confirmed.
No, it's coming out of Sam Wiener's pocket.
Because he's the one who's promised?
Yeah.
His pockets are deep.
He said no problem.
Yeah.
Right. It could come out of his pocket.
He can make it happen.
Believe me, he lives around the corner from me. He's got plenty of dough. He's got plenty of dough.
He's doing well.
One less Vineyard Vines pants.
Oh, my God. He'll be okay.
All right, let's go around the NFL with the
Junkies. Looks
like
he's selling ad time in Cape Cod.
It is brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice with our service to help our military veterans. Visit donatepurpleheart.org. More details emerged on the Terrell Pryor situation.
Ooh, I like these details.
Apparently, Terrell Pryor was declared, he was at least coded twice.
That was according to him.
They had to resuscitate him. Okay, fine. According to him, brought him back to life while tending to the injuries he sustained from the Saturday morning stabbing on Pittsburgh's north side.
So how did they bring him back? Did they do what they did to Nikki Six from Motley Crue, where they took the big adrenaline shot and jammed it into his heart?
Bleeding.
I don't know. What happened? I need more detail.
Did his girlfriend actually drive him to the hospital?
Yes.
He went to social media, and what he said, you're right, it is his words. He said that he was coded twice and stared death in the eye in the same place my son was born.
Well, I mean, he was in critical condition.
I mean, stabbings are no joke.
Now, I'm just assuming that this is creeper-related. It has to be, like, cheating-related, right?
I think she was out of the club, and he came back from the club early or something. Okay. He was pissed. And apparently, see, the thing that's really bad about it, I mean, the whole story's horrible, but apparently he has, according to her friends, he has a history of putting his hands on his girlfriend. They have a very volatile physical relationship.
Oh, okay.
And he was waiting up for her to come back from the club and confront her, and that's when all hell broke loose.
Okay. Yeah, there's a witness who said Pryor confronted...
The guy's a douche. What are you going to tell you?
Shalaya Briston in the hallway after she'd gone out with friends. That confrontation turned physical with Pryor knocking one of the friends to the ground. Then a tussle between Pryor and Briston ensued. The fight continued into the kitchen.
That's where she grabbed a knife.
Where Pryor was reportedly stabbed in his chest.
And then she reportedly said we should have left him there to die. That's his girlfriend.
Wow.
What did Jimmy Hoffa say in The Irishman? You rush the guy with the gun, you run away from the guy with the knife.
Yes, correct. Mm. I mean, I'd personally run away from both.
Yeah. I kind of sleep on how dangerous knives are. Because I always think, you get cut. But, I mean, people die from stabbings all the time.
Well, of course. I mean,
if
you don't get the proper medical attention, you get stabbed in the wrong place, you bleed out in minutes.
I always say, I'd
sleep on it. Yeah. I'll be honest with you.
But lucky, I got stabbed in my arm. I've got like a 5-inch scar. But if my arm's not there, boom, it's in the chest and could be a whole different ball game.
Yeah. I sleep on it.
3-man show.
I don't know why you sleep on stabbings and how dangerous they are.
I just do. Like, I'll see guys.
I don't.
You go to, like, the Daily Mail or one of these horrible websites where they show just horrific things, and you'll see people, like, street fighting, and some guy gets stabbed, and he'll run away, and then you find out he died an hour later.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I just sleep on that.
I don't know why.
JP, didn't you meet Terrell Pryor? Didn't you do a TV
show? Yes, I did the show.
And he wasn't the nicest guy.
No, he's the most
really arrogant,
cocky guy I've ever met.
Well, JP also offended he also offended Terrell Pryor by kind of joning on his high school dunks.
No, well, here's the thing. Oh, they had a segment where they were having us grade the dunks, right? And it was just a regular in-game dunk, and I gave it a 7, and he got Rick, because I guess you're supposed to bow down and give everything a 10.
Yeah. I love how you don't bow down, though. I do give you respect.
And then I did see him, I forget, I think it was Christy Winter Scott came in, and yeah. She's tall, attractive lady, yeah. And he just stood and like just stared her down.
He did that.
I'm not surprised.
Brothers can get away with that.
He did that with every girl in the club that night.
Probably. All right, time to play 5 questions here on the Junkies Blitz. Some news about Tua Tag. You know what? Tua.
Tua Tag.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa.
Thank you, Kate. Tagovailoa.
Tua apparently is considering a return to Alabama for his senior season.
It makes a lot of sense.
Does it? And do you think that's the right move?
I think it's 50-50, and I think it probably actually is the right move, especially if it looks like, and he's getting intel, that he could slip to late first. It could be he could lose out on like $20 million over the lifetime of the contract.
Yeah.
He'd get insurance policy and just come back. He'd get a massive insurance policy back.
And doesn't Bama pay for the insurance policy?
I don't even know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The school pay for it?
You might know more than me.
I don't know the insurance policy payouts. I don't think it would be the wisest play just based on he keeps getting injured.
Why well, he could get a $20 million insurance policy?
He can get injured
again.
He does
tend to get injured,
and he could end up being a fifth round draft choice.
He's not going to be the first pick. He's not going to be the first pick in the draft
next year because of Trevor Lawrence. That's fine, or whoever.
Because of Justin Fields too.
Sure.
So he's going to be at best the third quarterback, probably.
I'd come out now. Yeah. I feel like his stock could plummet.
He's going to be a top. Someone's going to reach and take him in the top 10 or 12.
If he goes in the top 10 and gets that kind of assurance, he probably should come out. Yeah. But if it looks like he could potentially even slip because people think, oh, I don't know what this hip injury. I don't know what we're going to get here.
Well,
I could see him slipping.
He's going to fully recover, right?
I believe he will.
Question number 2.
I think he stays or stays in the draft. I don't think he comes back.
Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, was asked about Jason Garrett and his job security, and he... paraphrasing, said something to the fact that Jason Garrett will be coaching next year.
But who?
He said in the
league. He'll be coaching in Dallas.
He'll be coaching in the NFL.
No.
So this gets me to number 3, and this is a binary question. You have to choose one or the other to be your next Redskins head coach, EB. Ron Rivera or Jason Garrett?
Oh, can I get a neither?
I'd take Rivera.
I would pull an EB and I would hold my nose and I would pick Ron Rivera, but I wouldn't like it.
But again, you could hire God to coach. If Bruce is still there, it'll ruin everything. So it doesn't matter.
Garrett's record's actually surprisingly better than what you maybe expect.
Not interested in
just
him
no
either.
Success, you know, in the playoffs or going deep.
Yeah.
I would hire Kellen Moore, his offensive coordinator. Before either of those other two guys.
I couldn't hire Kellen Moore. I look at that kid and I go, he looks like he's in the third grade.
True.
He looks so young.
They can't beat a good team.
I'd still hire him over those guys.
Oh, I wouldn't. A little too green for me.
Yeah, I can't. I would hire Rivera of the two.
How many times has Garrett been to the playoffs? He's been there a million years.
He hasn't been a lot.
Google it. Cakes can Google it.
Yes, I'll
give you question number 4.
I'll look up his terrible record.
I bet you it's not more than 2 or 3 times.
That's it?
Jason Garrett?
Been to the playoffs? Or you're saying playoff
how
wins?
How many times has he been to the playoffs?
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, Ricky. He has been to the playoffs with the Dallas Cowboys.
How many years has he been there? 9?
He's been there since 2010.
All right, this is year 10.
He's been there 3 years, and he lost all 3 of his playoff games. Lost to the Packers twice in 14 and 16, and lost to the Rams in 2018.
I guarantee you, every Dallas fan wants him fired.
Well, he definitely beat the Seahawks last year.
Okay, so he's one and three.
Yeah, I've got one. I have him as 2 and 3.
Oh, he's 2 and 3.
So it's only listing. No,
it's listing
their last playoff appearance. So,
well, if he's going to keep the job this year, he's got to win the division and win.
I think he's got to get to NFC Championship.
He's got to win 2 playoff games.
You mentioned the Rams there. The Rams are 1 game back of the Vikings. Do you believe they catch them and get into the playoffs? Here's your remaining schedule for the Rams.
All right.
They got Seattle next. Then they go to Dallas. They go to San Francisco, end up with Arizona. Meanwhile, the Vikings, 1 game lead, only have 1 team remaining with the winning record. They've got Detroit this week.
Yep.
At San Diego. The Chargers.
At LA. Yep.
Got Green Bay and Chicago.
No, they've got to win. No. No way.
Vikings. I like the Vikings.
Vikings stay ahead of the Rams.
I like the Vikings.
Don't get caught up in what the Rams did last week. Arizona's terrible. No way the Rams are going to get through that gauntlet.
Last one. Did the Giants end up with the number one pick over Cincinnati? So Cincinnati's last four games at Cleveland, New England. They do have Miami and Cleveland. So play Cleveland twice and have a game with Miami. The Giants, two-win team, at Philly. Philly's desperate for a win, probably a loser. They've got Miami. The way Miami's playing, they'll probably lose to them. The Redskins.
That's a coin toss.
That's a coin toss, man. Who knows? They're all the same to me.
Since he probably ends up with that number one pick, but there's a chance the Giants can end up having the number one pick.
Yeah.
They're going to be there in the hunt.
They'll take Chase Young.
Yep.
Well, they definitely need help on the defense, so it's a no-brainer pick.
That's another team that's going to need a coach. No Chance Shermer last.
I wouldn't
His
think
record
so.
When they hired him was poop.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
Although they owe him a lot of money, I think.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we're going to switch gears and talk a little bit about the Nats. Steven Strasburg met with the Evil Empire yesterday. Are you worried that the Nationals may lose Steven Strasburg? That's next here on The Junkie.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.